take your Bible with me, and we're going to turn to two places. I'm going to let you stay seated, but the first person that goes to sleep gets a songbook thrown at them. Some of you, I might as well throw it now. You were sleeping during the song service. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 10, where we are this morning, and then Revelation chapter 2. So if you want to turn to one of those two places, put your finger maybe in Revelation chapter 2, and then turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We're talking about something might be missing. Mark chapter 10, it's the story of the rich young ruler. For sake of time this afternoon, I will just read one verse. Well, let me read two verses. All right, let me read from verse 17. I'm sorry, the context doesn't make sense if I don't read more of it. So let me start again at 17. I'll just end one verse shorter. Verse 17, Mark chapter 10. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" I want you to understand, other texts explain to you and tell you, and you find out that he's rich. He's a rich young ruler. You'll see that he has some spirituality and he has respect. He is kneeling before him. He wants to know, "What may I do that I may inherit eternal life? How can I be saved?" Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none but one that is good, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest: go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven." My contention for this morning was that the rich young ruler knew there was something missing. He didn't know what it was, but something was missing. He was doing all these spiritual things, and yet he had this hollowness, this weird, empty feeling. What was missing in his life was salvation. And I made the point very strongly this morning that you need to be careful and be sure that you have a Bible, a scriptural salvation, or all the spirituality in the world, all of the quote-unquote religious things will not fill that void. You have a God-shaped hole in your heart that only God can fill with salvation. Sometimes salvation is missing. Not only that, I mentioned this morning that sometimes sacrifice is missing. You'll notice he said in the text to him, "Sell all that you have and give it to the poor." You'll also notice that if you read back in the text in chapter 10, and read forward in the text, you'll find out that Jesus has a lot to say about discipleship, that we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. Three stages of discipleship. Deny yourself, that's the things you give up. Take up your cross, that's the things you lift up, the things you do for God. And then, follow Me. That is keeping up. So some things you give up, some things you lift up, and some things you keep up with to be a true disciple of God. There'll always be a hollow spot if you don't understand that kind of sacrifice. And then I mentioned this morning that sometimes what's missing is a surrendered faith. The kind of faith that surrenders things to God's control. We talked about Mary and Martha and the fact that Martha was trying to control the situation. She loved Jesus. She wanted to worship Jesus, but she wanted to do it her way. The house had to be all right so that they could worship. Right, Alec? I mean, we can't worship if there is a gutter end on the desk. We can't do that. It's got to be right. Everything's got to be right. The picture's crooked. There's stuff on the thing back there at the PA. It has to be. You guys don't realize when you leave, I clean that up in the mornings. And if you find something missing, look at the trash can, because that's where it goes. It's just the way I am a Martha personality. But see, all of her ideas had nothing to do with true faith. She needed to surrender her concept of how to worship Christ to what was really important, like Mary. And sometimes there's a hollow spot as a Christian in your life because you do not understand what surrendered faith is all about. Now, Revelation chapter 2, when we're talking about the subject of something might be missing, maybe salvation is missing. Boy, don't let that happen, or you'll lose your eternal soul in hell. Sacrifice and surrendered faith will cause you to lose your life. It'll become useless. You'll live for the world, the flesh, and the devil, and nothing for God will ever be done this amounts to anything. And then in Revelation chapter 2, we'd be remiss if we did not look at some of what was said to the seven churches when you think of something lacking, something might be missing. Look what he says in verse 1. Under the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them, which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hath labored, and hast not fainted. These are pretty good people. They've done a whole lot of good things. Look at verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Something's missing because thou hast left thy first love. And so this afternoon, I want to talk to you out of some of the letters to the seven churches very shortly about some things that also might be missing. Father, bless your word. Speak to our hearts, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. We saw this morning how salvation could be missing, how sacrifice could be missing, and how a surrendered faith could be missing. And now this afternoon, when we look in the book of Revelation, when I think about things that might be missing, and Jesus commends the church in Ephesus for all these wonderful things that are going on in their life, and yet he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. There's something missing. And then he explains, because thou hast left thy first love. Now, I've taught and preached on the seven letters of the seven churches many times. This is just something, very brief thoughts that go along with what I started to say this morning. And so I'll continue those thoughts by explaining to you that I think the one thing that we see here that can't really be argued about losing or leaving, thou hast left thy first love, I want you to understand that the supremacy of love for God can be missing. In your Christian life, quite often you love God, but the supremacy of that love is missing. It's the missing ingredient. It's the missing link to tie you into what true, abundant spirituality is all about. By the way, some of us are saved so as by fire, but God wants you to have the abundant Christian life. And the move from where you are to there, quite often, there's something missing, something that bridges the gap, something that pulls you over. And quite often, it is this supremacy of love. I want you to understand that sometimes we don't understand the kind of love we're supposed to have for God. It's an emotional kind of love, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And that verse is quoted several times in the New Testament. I want you to understand that the kind of supremacy of love we have for God is an emotional love. Some people allow emotional love to pull them away from God, when in fact, emotional love for God should be a supreme thing, a paramount thing, the thing that gets the most priority in our lives, that we love Him emotionally above all else. But not only is this kind of supremacy of love an emotional love, it's an obedient love. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1 says, therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep His charge and His statutes and His judgments and His commandments always. Now I could read you many verses to prove the point. But the point being said is this. Supremacy of love for God is an obedient love. I love Him so much that I will obey Him. Sometimes you obey people because you fear them. I use that quite often. It works. Okay? And sometimes you obey people because you love them. I always tell parents, the greatest part of discipline for your child should not be the fact that they fear you, but it should be the fact that they love you so much it breaks their heart that they have disappointed you. That it just breaks their heart they've disappointed you. And that's the way it should be with us as believers for God, that it breaks our heart that we have disappointed Him because we love Him so much, we fail, and this disobedience causes us to have a great emotional sadness because we love God supremely. Supremacy of love is an emotional love for God. It's an obedient love. It's also an energetic love. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13 says, and it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments that I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. So in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13, as we continue in Deuteronomy from chapter 6, where it says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, into chapter 11, that you love Him and keep His charge. Now into verse 13, 12 verses later, He says, to serve Him. To serve Him. Can I tell you something? It's not hard to serve people you love. Not hard. It's hard to serve somebody you hate. Really hard. Yeah. But it's not hard to serve somebody you love. You love them so much, you're willing to wait on them hand and foot. You're willing to do whatever they want because you love them. You love God so much, whatever He even insinuates. Like the mighty men who fought their way through the Philistines to get the water from the well by Bethlehem and bring it back. Loving their king so much that He didn't ask for them to do that. But He said, oh boy, that water, sure would be great to have a drink from that water. And they fought all the way through the garrison of the Philistines back and forth to bring Him a drink of that water. It's that kind of love. Supremacy of love for God. Maybe that's what's missing. That's what was missing. The church in Ephesus had all these things in line, all of these ducks in a row, and yet one duck, if you will, was missing. The supremacy of love. An emotional love, an obedient love, an energetic love, and maybe this is a bit redundant, and that is an active love. Deuteronomy chapter 30 verse 16 says, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord God and to walk in His ways. Active. Active. I love God. What are you doing for Him? Is there any activity? Is there any movement there? I love God and there's nothing I wouldn't do for Him, and so I spend all of my life doing nothing. Yeah, I say that all the time. I'll say, this is my good friend Dennis Coral. We are best friends. There's nothing I wouldn't do for Him, and there's nothing He wouldn't do for me. And so we go through life doing nothing for each other. Yeah. Can I tell you something? Your love for God should be an active love. To where you're actually doing something for Him. Love that demands to be expressed in some way. Something might be missing, and it could be the supremacy of love for God. Look at verse 12 of chapter 2. And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write these things, saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee. Uh-oh, something's missing. Because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. Now, I'm not going to belabor the whole point here to what he is saying to this church, but I would say to you that I very easily off the cuff, I would say that one of the things he had against them, it says that hold the doctrine, scriptural teaching and preaching. Maybe what is lacking in your life is scriptural doctrine. Doctrine. You know, so many of these happy clappy churches, people know no doctrine whatsoever. You talk to them and they don't have a clue. All they know is, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible, yay! You know, what's the Trinity? I don't know, Jesus loves me, this I know. Are you going to go to heaven when you die? Yeah, why? Because Jesus loves me, this I know. I want to take a baseball bat and smack him in the head. I'm sorry. I want to explain to them the deeper truths of the Scripture while I stand upon their chest after hitting them with a baseball bat in the head. I'm sorry. I just look at that and I think, come on. You know, you smile like a puppy dog that doesn't have a clue about what's going on in life. What do you know about the Christian life? Jesus loves me, this kind of... That's all you know. All you know is this feel good, happy. You know what? How many of you like ice cream? Okay? I like ice cream a little bit. It doesn't like me a lot. Okay? If it liked me a lot, I would like it a lot. But we have a love-hate relationship. When I have a moment where I think I love it, it decides, actually, my insides decide it hates it. And so we have issues. I can have small amounts. If I have a large amount, for 3 days I'm going to be ill. Okay, sometimes I decide, it's worth it. Actually, you know what happens? All these years, sometimes I look at it and I say, maybe it'll be different this time. It's like taking the hammer and putting my thumb on the anvil and saying, you know, maybe it will be different this time. Duh! Okay? And by the way, the worst thing you can do, where's my wife? Right there. Lovely top you have there. What? You know what's the worst thing in the world? Is when my wife says, you know better. Oh, now I gotta do it. I will be sick for 3 days before she will tell me not to do that. Yeah. The best thing you can do is just let them go. Or say, hey, you know what? Why don't you have some more of this? Then I'd say, oh no, you know, I better, my stomach. It's just my nature. My wicked, evil, carnal nature. Yeah. Listen, at some point, what might be missing in your life is scriptural teaching and preaching. You say, preacher, but I come to this church. You know what? I can be sounding brass and tinkling cymbal if you're not listening and applying. If you're not listening and applying, it makes no sense. You can go to the doctor all day long, and if you don't ever take any of his prescriptions or ever take any of his advice, you know, when I went to the doctor year before January, and he said, look, you better start exercising. When I came back this January, and I told him my wife and I were going to the Y 3 times a week, he said, really? I said, well, you told me. And he said, yeah, but nobody ever listens to me. He was shocked. And I said, hey, well, you told me we should. So I say, he didn't tell we. She wasn't there. He told me. But I made it a we project. By the way, I never go if she doesn't go. She'll go without me, but I won't go without her. It's kind of like, I'm not going today. Not me either. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah. All I'm saying is this. The thing that might be missing in your Christian life is doctrine. I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. Look, I am really getting sick and tired, because you can never be sick without being tired. You know, you have to be sick and tired. I'm really getting sick and tired of people raised in independent Baptist churches that are swallowing all this doctrine from all these false teachers. What in the world have you been doing all this time? I mean, kids I went to a youth group with when I was a teenager that were in great churches are in churches that believe you can lose your salvation. They're in churches that believe all kinds of weird things about the Holy Spirit, baptism, regeneration. It's one of the terrible things about Facebook. See some of your old friends from church and you think, you're going to what kind of church? How in the world could you swallow that? How did you go? You never apparently let doctrinal teaching and preaching from the Scriptures sink in here. In here. That could be the very thing that you're missing. Oh, listen, the church at Ephesus here had a problem. They did a lot of great things, but the supremacy of love just seemed to be missing. The church here at Pergamos had a lot of great things going on, but hey, it just seemed that scriptural teaching and preaching was missing. Now look at one more. Verse 18. I'm just going to cherry pick 3. You were hoping I'd do all 7, right? I can do the other 4 if you'd like. Okay. Verse 18. And of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and charity and service and faith, and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Something is missing. Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Could I submit to you that the thing that might have been missing for them was the sacredness and holiness of the body? The sacredness and holiness of the body. Now you got to understand the culture they were in. They were in a culture where a lot of these false temples and false gods that were worshipped all had a sexual element that was hooked to it. They even had temple prostitutes, where part of worship was to commit fornication with these prostitutes at these pagan temples. And so here, a church, supposedly a Bible-believing solid church, has a woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she's teaching that kind of garbage. And they are letting it go because It appeals to the flesh. Wow! We can worship God and sin like the devil. Wow, this is a great thing. Where do you sign up for this one? And that's what he had against them. Now let me say something here, and I will be delicate and yet determined about getting this truth across. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 13 says, "Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body." Let me read you three verses and then I'll make my explanation and I'll be done. Romans chapter 8 verse 13. "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 27. "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Here's what I want you to get. Two bodies that are talked about in these verses. One is this body right here, this physical body. And one is this body right here. Okay? And the warning and the picture is that this body needs to stay holy and this body needs to stay holy. And that I should not let this body be sexually immoral, nor the church body. Now how can a church body, okay, just like God talked to the Israelites when He said they had committed whoredom with false gods. They were married to God and they went and played the harlot with false gods. So a church body, when it gives the love, adoration, and attention to false things, anything that's not the Lord Jesus Christ, is committing that kind of spiritual fornication. So there's two applications that need to be made here. I think he had something against them because they did not understand the sacredness and holiness of the body. Let's first talk about sacred and holiness of this body. Listen to me. I have things come across my desk all the time from preachers, and because I preach at camps and different places, we are living in a time when sexual immorality is rampant. Now, I say that realizing Sodom and Gomorrah was, you know, arguably, 4,000 years ago? Okay? And you'd think, how can we become any worse? Well, we're giving it a run for its money. Okay? We're giving it a run for its money. If there's ever a time, and ladies, I don't mean to leave you out of this because there's more women involved than this. You know, 42 years ago when I started this, this was not a very big problem among women, and now it's becoming a big problem. You know, God bless women, you found equality with men, you're now just as wicked. You know, it used to be you talked about women and cigarette smoke and cancer and how their rates were so much lower than men. Well, you've just about equaled the playing field now. So now you're just like men. You can die with cancer like the rest of us. You know, yay for you. Here's the equality you wanted. Good luck with that. But, I mean, the garbage that's coming across television, the garbage that's coming across phones, the garbage that's on internet, the filth and the weird stuff that's out there. Listen, parents, you are a fool if your child has a phone or a computer that they can access with no restraints to it. Now, I'm not a tech guy. I got a big thing. I don't know if you got it. I got a big thing from Pastor Crone, who, you know, Crone is a genius. You know, the guy was an engineer before he got saved, and he's a real, you know, you want to ask him about COVID, just mention the word COVID, and he will spot off for you all the technical jargon about why all that stuff was ridiculous. And I'm thinking, how about just say you don't need to wear a mask? Would that be enough? Other than all this stuff, you know. But that's the way he thinks. Okay, he just sent out a thing because of all the problems young people had. He said, I think, to the camp mailing list of all these things you can do, things you can put on phones to protect your phones, things you can put on computers to protect your computers, to keep not only an accountability, not only to keep your kids, but to keep you away from that garbage. So I start out in this process thinking about our young people because we should, because they are at an age where they're more susceptible to that kind of thing because their bodies are going through all kinds of changes. We get that. But you know, as I travel the country, men my age and older are falling into deep sin with the same kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, what are you, stupid? You act like you're 15? How can you be 65, 70 years old? Are you trying to relive your youth? What are you trying to do? How is this possible that you could be that old and be a Christian this many years and fall into that kind of sin? Well, I've got news for you. We are all susceptible. All of us. All of us, all of us, all of us. And you better realize how holy this body is supposed to be. Don't mess it up. Something might be missing in your relationship with God. I'll tell you what one of those things might be. The fact that this body has become unholy. How somehow you have disassociated the need for personal holiness physically from your relationship with God is ridiculously impossible scripturally. We need to make sure we stay pure. And take every avenue possible. Look, nobody should be above having a check and balance. You know, here at the church, I told Alec, we have a thing on all our computers. Any computer here, including my computer, my personal computer at home, from any computer here, you can access any of the other computers. I could be watching a computer at church while he's on the computer and he would never know. He could be watching my home computer while I'm at home and I would never know. One day when Johansson was here, he was working on the church computer and I was grabbing his pointer and he was doing stuff and I would slide the pointer down and he would slide it up and work and I would slide it down. He would open something, I would close something. And I did that for about a half an hour. And then he quit. He quit working on it and I can't see what he, well, I have cameras that I can also watch from my house, but I don't have anything in the office to watch. But he just quit on the computer and I called him on the phone. And I said, Joe, are you in the office? He said, well, I was, but I was having trouble with the computer. It was doing all kinds of crazy things. And I said, that was me. He said, what? I said, I turned it on to see what you were doing and I was closing the windows just aggravating it. By the way, he was not doing anything wrong. He was doing normal business. I was just playing with him. You know, he'd open a file for VBS and I'd close the file. And he'd open the file and I'd reduce it. He'd try to work with it. I'd slide it over here, you know. I was just grabbing the mouse with my mouse and pulling it around. Say, why do you have that? Even on your own personal computer. Because I want to be accountable. Anybody can be looking at anything. The PA computer, by the way, same thing. One day I'll go to my office on Wednesday when he's preaching and I'll fool with your computer when you guys are back there and you'll wonder, what's going on? It's the ghost of preacher's past. Be accountable. Be accountable. And if you're a teenager and you think, I shouldn't have any accountability, you need kicked in the head. Old men need accountability and you need more accountability. Be accountable. Everybody should be. Everybody. Young, old, man, woman, everybody. What are you hiding? Be accountable. Then secondly, not only does it talk about holiness of this body, physical body, but the church body. The church body. There is a need for holiness. Now look, it's a complicated issue because we are unholy individuals hooked together to make up a body. How could all these unholy people hook up together to make something holy? It almost seems impossible, right? Well, we need to make sure our goal, our motive, our direction, our methods all remain holy. Okay? We're not going to have, you know, beer and Bible night to have a good crowd. You understand what I'm saying? We're not going to compromise our music to get a good crowd. Let's bring in the Christian rock group. You know? We're not going to lower all of our standards. No. Keep this body. That doesn't mean that I expect you to be sinlessly perfect. Obviously, that's not impossible. That's impossible. But our goals and our aims and our methodology, we do not allow it to morph into anything that is sinful. That the ends do not justify the means. The means are just as important as the ends, and maybe more important. I'd rather do it a holy way with less results than an unholy way with great results. You've polluted the whole thing. Understand how important it is to keep the body clean. Keep the body holy. Physical and spiritual body. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying head somewhat against the church because of its sacredness and holiness being absent. Something might be missing in your life. What is it? Is it salvation? Is that what is the missing ingredient? Is it sacrifice, surrendered faith? Is it the supremacy of love for God? Is it the spiritual teaching and preaching, doctrine? Is it the sacredness of the body? What's missing? You know, in every one of these situations and in every scenario I brought up and many more in the Scriptures, there was something missing. Something missing. Can I tell you this? If there's something missing, you know it. You know it. There's something nagging at you because there's something missing. You can try to wipe it out with all kinds of things that try to keep your mind off of it, but there's something missing. And it's never going to quit nagging at you until you get it settled. Add the missing ingredient. Let's get it back to the correct recipe. Let's get it back to the proper situation. Let's let nothing be lacking. Let's let nothing be missing. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes with me this afternoon? Father, I pray that you bless us. Pray that help us to understand that quite often in life there might be something missing. Help us to take every step possible to reinstate the missing ingredient. Our heads are bowed.